Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me today is Nikki the Nose.
Yeah. See? Pay up, Dixon.
He's on ice. He's getting grilled.
What happened to that guy's nose?
I'm a syphilis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, it's not Nikki the Nose. It's Aaron O'Brien. How's it going?
Yes, because Aaron does not have syphilis.
Not that you know.
Oh, I hope not.
I have chlamydia.
Oh, that's just as good.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. It's good to have you back. We missed you last week, me and Robbie did.
I know. You and Robbie had a great time without me. I listened to the show. I didn't see Solo yet, but I still enjoyed listening to you guys argue.
That's always entertaining. That's always like worth the entertainment value in gold, right?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously you guys like each other, but you don't agree on much.
And we like a lot of the same things in theory, but but then we've just got vastly different opinions on those things, which is really interesting. It's always fun to have a talk with Robbie. Thanks for coming on, Robbie. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was very cool. And, you know, I think it makes it for interesting, you know, discussion when you don't technically agree on certain points. You get the point counterpoint.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. So we spoiled Solo for you, huh? Did you end up seeing it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I just have too much going on these days. So we are talking about the fictional character Dixon Hill, Jean-Luc Picard's favorite character growing up.
It's better than one of those Marie Antoinette people that Janeway likes playing.
It is better. Unfortunately, we didn't get as much Dixon Hill as I thought we got. When we were talking about doing a show about Dixon Hill, I kind of thought there's way more about Dixon Hill. And there's very, very little.
There's one episode that features him a lot, one episode that features him a little bit, and another episode that barely features him at all. And then we get like a 3-minute scene in Star Trek First Contact.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So just so everyone knows, in case you don't know who Dixon Hill is a detective character from the 20th century, kind of set in noir films or that you might see Maltese Falcon or In a Lonely Place or any of those like Humphrey Bogart movies. Somehow Jean-Luc Picard growing up read those pulp series and he just thought it was amazing. And so he tries to relive them on the holodeck on the Enterprise whenever he has his off time.
Well, they got to make him read something like, you know, old timey before he reads some Captain Proton.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's like Marie Antoinette or Dixon Hill. You got to pick one of the two before you can read Captain Proton. Okay, Dad.
All right, Dad. But Dixon Hill obviously is a fictional character. There's no such thing as a Dixon Hill. It'd actually be interesting if they did a spinoff of Dixon Hill. But let's face it, there's a ton of noir films and a ton of noir type of novels and pulp fiction out there that anybody could just pick up and just replace the name and change it to Dixon Hill.
Yeah, you can also watch Yesterday is Alive by our good friend James Kerwin, which is a noir film with Kipley Brown and Chase Masterson. You should watch that. It was good. It was quite good. I actually sat down and watched it about 6 months ago. It was really good.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you kind of got to rent it through, I think I did it from Amazon, I think. Maybe iTunes, I don't remember. But I had to rent it from someplace because I can't find it like at other places. So I was like, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Very nice. But so we get the first showing of Dixon Hill in the the episode, The Big Goodbye. Is a Holodex set episode, which takes place in season 1, episode 12. And this is where Jean-Luc Picard's got to say some crazy speech to these insect-like race that has to do it perfectly.
Otherwise, they'll be like they won't get a first contact chance again for another like decade or two. These people would get really angry when you mispronounce their words.
Yeah, and Data seems to be hell bent on showing him the footage of every time a Starfleet captain got it wrong.
It's probably got Benny. So it's probably got Benny Hill music in the background.
It'd be hilarious.
They probably get shot at.
Maybe, or maybe they get probed or something like that. You know, you never know.
Oh, that's probably more likely, just because Picard definitely does not want to see that.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, so the race is the Jarda. They're like an insect-type race, and they have, as Counselor Troy put out, they have very foreign minds, very insect-like. While he's trying to study this introduction to the Jarda, he's overstressing, and Deanna Troy suggests that maybe you should take a little break, go to the holodeck. Cool. So he decides he's going to try on the Dixon Hill persona.
Go have fun. Play a little. Play some video games.
Go play. So, and this is where he comes in, and he is, dressed in his, still in his uniform, and everyone keeps on saying, did you lose a bet?
Fancy pajamas.
Yeah. So, he comes into, and he has the typical secretary working for him, this kind of rough Brooklyn-type secretary who is, you know, chomping on her gum and doing her nails.
We ain't had a job in months, Dixon.
Yeah, that's right. So as Picard goes into his office of Dixon Hill, he's kind of inundated with all like that, what's going outside, the automobiles outside, everything, and he's really fascinated. And this is where Mr. Leech comes and knocks on the door, and Picard says, "You'll have to wait," you know, and then he leaves because he wants to tell everybody how amazing his visit to the holodeck is. And
Riker's already been scoring with all sorts of ladies.
I know, yeah, of every color and stripe. And you get the impression that Picard's never really spent that much time on the holodeck.
No, and not at all. It seems like it's his first time because he calls everyone to the council. I mean the meeting room.
The observation lounge meeting room
behind the bridge. And he's like geeking out like, this is the best video game. The graphics are so good. And I even saw an automobile. This is like me, like when I was a kid, talking to my friends about video games that they haven't played yet, trying to describe it to them. It felt very much like that to me.
Yeah, it did. It was, when you're geeking out about something. But he was definitely geeking out at this point. And basically from there, he says, invites Dr. Crusher to come with him. And she's like, oh, okay. He says, and bring that 20th century historian. What's his name?
McGivers.
Mr. Whalen.
Oh,
not McGivers. That's right. So they head down to the holodeck. And Data wants to find out more about this as he's talking to LaForge. So he ends up reading all of the pulp fiction of Dixon Hill, which is very fast.
Yeah, but
he should be done in 2 seconds.
Yeah, he does, and he gets dressed for the part. But you know, you always bring in the 20th century historians. Like those guys are like red shirts. They kind of don't last very long.
No, they don't.
Bad things happen to them. Job. One just likes to get beat up by Khan, forced blowjobs, and all this weird stuff. Then comes down to a planet that gets savagely murdered. And this guy, he gets shot in the gut.
It would be funny if there was another 20th century historian that came on to a Dixon Hill thing and he got ran over by the steamroller or something like that. And it would just be an interesting end to a 20th century historian on the Enterprise. All the demises.
I wish we had more 20th century historians in Star Trek. I think we've only got two. I think it's just this guy McGivers.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. Not quite sure, but as we know, he is technically the red shirt walking in.
Yes.
So,
but he had a name.
So, Yeah, well, he did have a name. Yeah, Waylon. So he, they all go into, obviously, Beverly is not there yet. She's still trying to get into the 20th century garb at the moment. And they walk into a busy street in San Francisco. Data's with them, Waylon and Picard. And they start going through, they go to a newspaper seller, and they're just basically sitting there and just taking in the ambiance of everything going on when two police officers arrive and accuse Dixon Hill or Picard of this girl, Jessica's murder.
Murder.
Because she had. Yeah, because she I failed to mention that she showed up at his office the first time he showed up.
And she took a card. I'm like,
she did take a card.
Man, I hope no one dies who took one of my Synthaholics cards at the con. I don't want to get accused of murder. Good grief. your card was on them. This is an instant, you know, you're an instant suspect.
Murder if you're lucky.
Oh, man, that's not... Oh, yeah, it could be something else. Good grief.
Something else. You could be, there's all sorts of things that people could blame you for.
Good grief. Yeah, please don't blame me. I hope you threw away the card if you're going to get hurt.
We found him off a cliff.
Just in a big ravine.
It's a pretty shitty police work, if you ask me. He's like, we found your card on him. What the? And we got the electrician in for questioning too, because obviously she had some light problems and called the electrician at the same time.
Yeah, she calls a private eye. She gets a private eye's card. She must have murdered him. All right, he must have murdered her. That's crazy.
Right. So back on the bridge, the JARDA sends out a long-range probe and starts scanning the Enterprise. And they want to communicate with the Enterprise, but obviously Picard's indisposed on the holodeck. So Riker says, hey, you can talk to me. And they're like, you're not the captain. And they realize they have to get the captain off the holodeck.
But the probe sends some sort of pulse.
Yeah, so it kind of messes up with the messes the holodeck up, which is kind of insinuated at the point where Dr. Crusher tries to walk into the holodeck, and the doors start doing some funky opening and closing.
It does
thing.
The Sheldon 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, yeah. Before it lets her in.
Exactly. And so she goes in, and she can't get out after that, which she doesn't know yet. So she meets up with Waylon and Data at the police station where they got old Dixon on ice. And they're asking
he's
him
getting
all
grilled,
the questions.
See?
Like, what? Yeah, he's getting grilled. So they're asking him that typical good cop, bad cop. And they're asking him, like, you know, where were you and what is your connection with this person, with this Jessica? And, you know, Picard is like, I've told you and I've told you.
But I
don't believe
him. I love how he's so excited about it at first, and then he gets kind of tired of it. It's like, yeah, can I do something else in the holodeck now, please?
Yeah, this is getting boring. Because real life being interrogated police is probably pretty damn boring.
Yeah, but he was just so excited about it. It's like, oh, I'm in the holodeck. I'm having fun. And then they wouldn't let him go. He's like, oh, can I do something else, please, guys, please?
Meanwhile, outside, LaForge tries to get a hold of Picard on the holodeck, but somehow cannot talk to him. And so he's trying to get into the holodeck controls and find where the captain is. But unfortunately, nothing's working. He can't open the holodeck. And he's afraid if they just open up the holodeck, something could happen to the captain. And crew.
Yeah, I feel that, like, that's strange that, like, the holodeck's that dangerous you can't even open the door.
Yeah, like, what's going to happen? Like, there should be all these fail saves for holodecks. I mean,
at least starting after this episode, they should have started building fail safes into them. But nope.
Yeah, exactly. So Wesley Crusher and Commander Riker go to meet LaForge outside the holodeck. Because Wesley Crusher seems to have read all the technical manuals, while LaForge doesn't know anything, apparently. And
he's not an engineer yet. He's the driver.
And I know. It's just weird. And where is the engineer? Where's Barclay when you need him?
Well, Chief Argyle is having some haggis. He's too busy to come to the holodeck.
He's putting on his Argyle socks.
Yes, standard.
So Picard then realizes that while he's there that he has to get back to the bridge. And he has to talk to the JARDA. So he gets out his way out of the interrogation. So they head back to Dixon's office. And when they get back, they try to open the holodeck doors and nothing's happening. And then they realize that there's something wrong. While that happens, this guy Leech walks in and he pulls a gun on them.
And the historian gets really excited about it, too. It's like, oh, look, it's a gun.
Oh, wow, a gun. That's real gunpowder.
Can you shoot me with that?
Please? He starts doing a little dance. So back on the other opposite side of the holodeck doors, Wesley and LaForge are trying to figure out the problem. And Wesley's says that probably that the Jardian probe did something to the holodeck. And
because that probe is so good, it probed it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it's like, yeah, it's like put Wesley on it, because he's the one playing video games. He knows how to work this console. You know how to clean that thing out, boy? He's the kid.
He need to clean the cash and cookies out of that.
Yeah, like the Nintendo, you got to blow out the cartridge and go.
Right, exactly.
And then back in the holodeck, a couple more people walk in on them. Oh, no, yes, no.
But
oh, wait.
Not before.
Sorry. Picard disarms Leech and punches him in the face after he shoots. Isn't it right. After he shoots right. The historian?
He shoots Whalen, and Picard just punches him in the face because then they realize the safety protocols are been deactivated, and they are now
in mortal danger.
Extreme mortal danger.
This is how he learns holographic bullets can kill. Something that'll come up later.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So Crusher says that if Whalen isn't in the sick bay, that he'll die. So Crusher says that if Whalen isn't brought into the sick bay, that he'd die immediately. And obviously Picard, like you said, knocks him out. But then we get the entrance of Cyrus Redblock. Redblock is looking for the object. And Picard doesn't really know what the object is, but he's just sort of like, okay. And he's trying to placate Redblock for a little bit to try to get him to get Whalen out of that the holodeck.
Trying to stall.
And then he starts saying, basically telling him everything. That's what's really happening is that, you know, we're on a spaceship. You know, we're not from around here. And that this is all made up. And, you know.
And they don't believe him. But then Wesley outside puts in the snow level. And then all of a sudden they're in a blizzard and then they get put right back. Yeah,
right. Exactly. And then they're like, wait, something is going on here. Yeah. So the officer from the precinct shows up with a bottle and he's going to just hang out with Dixon Hill. And that's when Cyrus Redblock's guys take him and starts punching him in the face. He just becomes the human punching bag for the next couple minutes.
Well, at least it's no longer on McGivers, although otherwise McGivers would be even worse shape.
Well, McGivers died quite a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She died on City Alpha 5.
Strangely enough, though, during this time, Geordi and Wesley are successful, and they do open the door, but nobody's outside when they open the door, and this is where Redblock and Leech walk out. And they're like, if I walk out of there,
I get to explore the solar world? Like, yeah, probably not. But
No, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work. And they walk out and they disappear.
But they get a couple steps out into the hall, though, which was interesting.
Yeah, which we've talked before about when we talked about Moriarty. That was pretty strange. That they were saying if I throw this book out and the book disappears immediately.
Yeah, as soon as it crosses the threshold. Yeah, they were still figuring out holodecks back then, I guess.
Yes.
This is season one, after all.
So then they get Picard goes up to the bridge and he gives the successful greeting to the Jardin and everything's good. The sad thing is we never really find out what happened to the historian Whalen. They just pick him up and they don't tell if he lived or not. We just assume that he lived, but we don't really know.
Yeah, I guess you can't assume he lives, but I like to think that he died in a most unpleasant way because he's got to be our red shirt for the episode, just like McGivers was, because she died in between Space Seed and Wrath of Khan.
That's right.
Seti Eel killer. Seti Eel.
Seti Eels. Next time we see Dixon Hill, we get the episode Manhunt, which is episode 2, I'm sorry, season 2, episode 19. And there's a lot going on in this episode, but mostly it has to do with Laxana Troi coming aboard. And she's going through some weird menopause thing.
She's entered the phase.
Yes.
Or she becomes extra horny.
Yeah, tell them about the phase, David.
Yes, the phase. This is something that apparently Deanna Troi had mentioned to Riker during the Imzadi incident before the show happened. And he warned him that, you know, if they got together and they got married, that by the time she reaches the age, her sex drive will quadruple. And then she's like, or more. Apparently she didn't tell him that part before. So he gets very... she gets very horny, and she is ready to do anything on the ship. But mostly, she's got her eyes on Picard.
Yes, Picard is her number one choice.
She even muses on Wesley for a second. She's like, he's too young.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He'll be able to keep up with you.
Might be breaking a law, though. So, space law. So, Picard goes to dinner with the... Laxana Troi. He thought it was a bigger dinner, but it was just him and her. And this is where he realizes this is happening. So when he finds out about this, and he consults Deanna Troi and Commander Riker about this, they're like, "Well, you can't just say you're not interested, because that would be extremely offensive to her.
Gotta let her down easy."
So he says, maybe if I'm just so busy and I have other duties to attend to. So this is where he decides that he's going to escape into the world of Dixon Hill one more time.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so he goes into the holodeck settings. And this time we find a different type of setting that he's looking for. So originally when we saw The Big Goodbye, there's obviously violence and a little bit of manhandling here and there. But I think this is what my thought was. He didn't want the violence because he wanted the raw sexuality of Dixon Hill.
Oh.
Because he couldn't act on it. Because he's, first of all, he knows he's captain. He can't just, start, bang the ambassador.
Ambassador. Yeah.
So he decides that he wants this raw sexuality. So he goes to this world of Dixon Hill, and when he keeps on getting visitors to take a case, and they're all trying to shoot at him.
it's like a pistol, then a machine gun. It's great.
Yeah, the machine gun, and then the last guy is just grabbing him by the lapels, and he's like, "No, this is not working," which was all pretty comical.
He should have called Riker. I'm like, "Hey, Riker, what are your unwinding programs? Can I get into that?"
Yeah, I know. Can do the RISA program. It's weird, too. It's like, does he not want people to know that that's what he wants to blow off steam doing?
I don't know. It didn't even cross my mind that he was going for the sexual aspect. I just thought he was just trying to do something to escape.
Well, it was definitely an escape, but I think that's where he was going to. So, because he says that he tells the computer everything is too violent for his current mood. So,
give me whips and chains, no guns. Whips and chains, please.
Yes. So
something with more leather.
So then, I don't know if he wants that either. But so he goes to to Dixon Hill. He goes to Secretary Madeline, and he invites her to go to Rex's bar. So, and she hands him a gun. He says, "You're going to need it there, because apparently there's a guy that they put away into jail for a while back, and he's out looking for Dixon Hill and Rex as well.
Looking for revenge."
So, that's right. So they go to Rex's bar. And, it's that typical old saloon bar from the 40s. And, they're kind of like coming up to speed with everything. Like what was the guy's name? Damn it. I can't find it.
Rex?
Not Rex. Rex was the owner, but there was a guy that they were running from. I can't remember. Damn it. I can't find it. It's not in here. Well, anyways, doesn't matter. So anyways, Rex and Dixon Hill had got this guy put into prison, but he was supposed to be looking for them. At that time, this is where Data comes walking in, dressed in the full nines as usual, and Laxana Troi finds him as well.
Oh, yeah. She's like, "Is this where you've been hiding, Jean-Luc?" And she gets so intrigued with Rex. So very intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, and he keeps on trying to mention that there's something different you should know about Rex. But she doesn't seem to be interested in.
Oh, but she's like, he's different than any other man I've met. I can't read his mind, and it's oddly stimulating.
Yeah, it's so funny. So we find out that she was she kind of take offense to it later, but she doesn't like dwell on it that Rex was just a hologram.
So
she
got tricked. Why they go on like that, Picard? She is kind of offended.
Yes, yeah, so and this is where they exit the Dixon Hill world for this one for Manhunt. It was a fun little escapade into the world, but
we don't really get much into.
Yeah, just for the setting and maybe to break the pace of the episode what it was before. And the next time we get Dixon Hill, we get it into Clues. This is season 4, episode 14. Like you said, Dave, before we started recording, this is a great episode. We're not going to talk much about this. We're just going to talk more about the Dixon Hill segment.
Which is just at the very beginning, because we definitely want to do a full episode on Clues, because Clues is such a good episode. Just watching it this week was like, wow. I don't want to ruin Clues by talking about it in this like combination episode, so let's say that. It's a good episode.
But we get this great beginning where Guinan is dressed as Gloria from Cleveland and going to see Dixon Hill.
She shows her garters.
Yes, she does.
I took a while to figure out how to put these on.
It's funny because these days, and I'm sure you don't watch it, and I don't watch it regularly, but I've seen it more than once now, as The View has Whoopi Goldberg on it, and she's much older now.
Yes.
I mean, she's like a grandmother now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's so weird seeing her,
kind of sexy.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird seeing her like this, because, now she's in full grandma mode, so.
It's like, wow, Whoopi legs. That's not bad looking.
That's a good name for you, Whoopi. So we get this great little segment where Guinan shows up dressed in the full regalia, and she even says to Madeline, the secretary, he's like, it took me a while to figure out what to do with these, and she shows off her nylon garter and everything like that. So it's funny, and then we get this great scene where the guy comes in with the gun.
The guy was already in there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she comes in, which is funny. The secretary didn't even mention that there's a guy in a gun in the office. and you know, how they kind of handle all that. So, and then the guy with the gun who's holding him at gunpoint gets shot with a machine gun through Dixon Hill's window, and he falls down. And obviously,
he pulls Guinan down and shields her.
Yeah, Guinan and Picard hit the deck, and as they kind of crawl up to the dead body of the guy who was holding the gun to him, and she goes, "This is what you do for like letting off steam, or you know, for recreation."
For he
goes,
fun? No. "What?"
He's like, "It's the mystery of it." And it's like, "Who is this man, and who killed him?" And he goes, "Oh, and that's the fun." He goes, "Exactly, that's fun.
That's fun."
So. And it kind of leads into the episode of Clues, which we won't get into because, like Dave said, this is something we want to talk about at some point in the future. But we have obviously a great opening scene with Dixon Hill in there. And lastly, of course, we have the great famous scene of Dixon Hill during First Contact, where he leads Lily on a chase escaping from the Borg, and he starts the Dixon Hill, and it's I think he said chapter 13.
Well, he goes into chapter 12, and he's looking for Nikki the Nose, and then he goes he goes to the guy, he's like, oh, wrong chapter, and then he tells Holodeck to start chapter 13,
right?
Or that's a big dance scene.
And that's when he pulls out the Tommy gun and just start blowing away
the Borg. Yeah.
The Borg, right. Which is an incredibly visceral scene.
Yeah, and it's great. And she's like, I thought these were all holograms. And he's like, even a holographic bullet can kill. Which I assume, this is why I assume that the poor historian is dead.
That's true.
What would be even greater is if the historian lived and he was the Ensign Lynch.
Oh, jeez.
So even the second time he's been shot in a holodeck.
God damn it! Every time I go in,
every time I see Dixon Hill, it's just like, oh, that would have been fantastic if he was one of the Borg, if he did live.
If he did live, right? So, Dave, Dixon Hill, an interesting character. Interesting that Captain Picard chooses to don this persona. What is your thoughts about this character? I mean, obviously, he's almost like just a sketch. Yeah, from what we have.
He's very minimal. Like I like you, like when we were saying at the beginning, I thought there was more to Dixon Hill.
Yeah.
Like there's like, you know, 45 minutes maybe between all, you know, four, you know, three episodes and then the bit in the movie. I mean, like maybe.
Yeah.
So I mean it's there's not a lot of Dixon Hill there. And I just memory those weird things. When you think about it, you think about, oh, I feel like you've seen him a bunch, but yeah, not really. It's a fun escape. It's fun to see Picard nerd out, because we don't really see Picard get excited about too much except for the Hurl and Neskar.
Mm-hmm.
that clay pot that he just like freaks out about for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And then he just drops and breaks in Star Trek Generations. He just picks it up like after the Enterprise's crash. Somehow it survived the crash when he sets it down. He's like, oh, I'm just going to leave this here. Really?
Yeah.
You're gonna leave that on the Enterprise? Do you remember geeking out about that thing for like 30 minutes for half an episode? Like, really? So it's neat to see Picard get excited about something. And then it's also fun seeing him interact with the rest of the crew. Because, you know, in All Good Things, he's like, you know, I should have come and played poker with you guys before. But it's like, he played holodeck with them. Why didn't he play poker with them before?
Yeah, I'm not really certain. I think, honestly, what I think the idea is with Picard is that he holds himself to such a high standard, he rarely lets loose. And this might be, like, the closest thing we'll ever see him really let loose on. You know? Just my theory.
Yeah, and it's also one of the things that, another thing I was telling you before we started recording, was that it's just funny seeing how, like, fish out of water Picard is for... Mm-hmm. The first two Dixon Hills, then he sort of gets it on the third episode. And then in First Contact, he's totally, totally in character. He totally knows how to do it. So apparently, there's a lot more Dixon Hill that happened between Seasons 4 and First Contact that we didn't get to see, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
What about you? What are your thoughts on the Dixon Hill character and the escapism?
Well, it's obviously like a more down and dirty type of character that Picard never really sets foot in real life. I mean, yeah, Picard gets his scrapes where he gets pretty rough, but it's very, you have to push Picard pretty, you know, far up against the wall, you know, for him to start getting like that. I mean, most we see it is with the Borg, you know, where he's had it and he kind of throws all his ethics out the window sometimes, not too often, but once in a while.
Guinan we see talks him out of it.
Yeah, but the Dixon Hill character is interesting. I love noir films, and there's a ton of great films. Like I said, The Maltese Falcon, In a Lonely Place. One I recently discovered maybe a year or so ago is called Kiss Me Deadly. You can watch Kiss Me Deadly totally on YouTube. It's up there. It's with this guy, a character called Mike Hammer. And he's just like this private investigator who just is a complete jerk. And it has the most insane ending you could ever imagine. I can't even tell you. I don't even want to tell you, because if anybody does see Kiss Me Deadly, like I said, you can watch it on YouTube. It is shocking, the ending. To me, it was shocking. I didn't expect it.
That's cool.
So... I've read like Red Harvest and stuff like that, and all these other books that are based off these noir, you know, Raymond Chandler and stuff like that. So these are all great, awesome worlds to get lost into. So I get the romance and the brutality of these noir films and these noir books, and I understand why Picard would like him. It's just, it's strange that was something he latched onto.
Too bad Picard didn't beam down to that planet, the Royale.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He could have had some fun there, but no, it was Riker, Worf, and Data, I think.
Yeah, and it's weird sometimes. I find that they're always going back to like a certain 20th centuries. You know,
it's because they've got standing sets for them. Don't have to build them.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, you think about it. Like, I mean, obviously, we've had like Robin Hood and a whole bunch of other stuff, like in different settings as well. But you know, you never see anybody do like the Crusades or something like that.
You know, probably because those sets get destroyed immediately afterwards.
Right. Some interesting things in Enterprise, one of the in Motion Picture Library, in the Enterprise. Episode Cogenitor, which we had covered way back when, there was a film episode called
32,
Dixon,
I think.
Yeah, Dixon Hill and the Black Orchid was a film based on the character. So that was kind of like a little tidbit. It was just basically shown on screen that there was something that they could have watched. And apparently a lot of the copies of the Dixon Hill Adventures were lost during the Eugenic Wars.
Oh, curse you, Khan!
Khan!
Oh, man, it would be great to have Picard yell, Khan!
Yeah, exactly.
You destroyed my books!
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I think it would be really fascinating to see, like, a series or something, like, even, like, a novels based off Dixon Hill, you know? Based off Star Trek or something like that. Like, they would do something about Dixon Hill. That'd be a lot of fun, I think.
That would be fun. I think he's on Memory Beta, though, so there is some...
There is some stuff on Memory Beta. I mean, there's some... They're mentioned in a bunch of books, you know. It mentions here Next Generation Novel Infiltrator, Next Generation Novel Requiem, you know, and stuff like that. So there's definitely some... There's definitely callbacks of Dixon Hill, but just not a ton. You know?
Oh, yeah, there is not very much of Memory Beta either. And it was really disappointing with this episode, because I got a confession to make to you guys. I've been slacking on reading Memory Alpha lately. And today, you know, I had time, and I was like, I want to read up Memory Alpha on these episodes. And then there was, like, almost nothing for these three episodes. And so I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the most interesting tidbit, really, that I saw in Memory Alpha for the Big Goodbye... Oh, the Goodbye had the most information. But for continuity... The Big Goodbye was said to be one of the first of many holodeck malfunction episodes in Star Trek. At one point, the episode had been scheduled for post-production after 11001001, which is the Binar episode. If this had happened, the computer malfunctions... I'm sorry, the computer modifications by the Binars would have served to explain the holodeck malfunction in this episode. Mm-hmm. I guess they didn't reference that because they ended up being in different order. So,
not
a whole lot. And then a lot of the other things are just mentioning what Aaron said, the Maltese Falcon and other stuff that kind of inspired the Dixon Hill universe and Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea, and I like the idea of the character. I kind of wish we'd see a little bit more, but unfortunately we don't get to see much of anything after that.
Maybe in Discovery. Maybe Discovery Season 2 will get like a whole Dixon Hill episode out of nowhere. Yeah. Maybe Spock and Michael Burnham will bond over some Dixon Hill.
That'd be interesting.
I'd love to see Spock. I mean, because in the, you know, the TOS episode when they go to the gangster world, Spock was pretty gangster. So, I mean...
Piece of the action.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to see young Spock. Because, like, maybe that's where he gets it from in Piece of the Action. He liked... The Dixon Hill stuff.
Yeah. A couple other things that are interesting is we've talked about this before when we talked about the Moriarty episode, but like the episode The Big Goodbye, obviously Cyrus Redblock and Leech walk out and they slowly disappear. So obviously anything outside the holodeck doesn't survive. Yet when Picard walks out with the kiss on his lipstick on his mouth, that's still there.
Yes, but the lipstick could have been replicated lipstick put onto a hologram, so it could have stuck.
Still a little odd.
Well, kind of like how the snowball survives. So maybe it replicated actual snow.
And yet the book, when he throws it out the holodeck door with Moriarty, disappears immediately.
Well, he just knew that was just a hologram and not a recreation. Mm-hmm. Replicated somehow. Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah,
lots, it lots, of, be, lots of BS-y ways around these things.
And like we said, because we talked about this in the Holograms Gone Wild episode for Moriarty, is that, you know, they didn't have this that figured out yet. When they did the big goodbye, and a lot of the first season, even I think the second season, things are a little goofy, but they start ratcheting it down a little more.
Well, sure, but the first Moriarty episode is in season two, so that's when they kind of figured it out a little bit better.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so that's it's a great, you know, it's great fun, and I wish we would get a little more Dixon Hill. It's a great world to visit, and unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see any more Dixon Hill.
Probably not. Not until we get a post TNG or concurrent TNG style series. Holodecks are still in their infancy in Discovery World.
Yeah,
I know we saw the training simulator, but that's a training simulator, not really a full holodeck. So I don't think we'll see. Hopefully, we won't see any full holodecks in Discovery. Hopefully, they'll just keep it to like training simulations and stuff like that, which is perfectly acceptable.
Right. We did get that little weird news, which I did post, that the people working on Discovery were interested in taking a crack at the Borg.
Oh yeah, Glenn Hetrick. I mean, he's pretty like weird and goth looking, so he would want to take on the Borg. But I feel like that was like a candid question. It's like, oh, who would you want to work on? Mm-hmm. I don't think he has any say over anything. I mean, they just tell him what to do, and he does it pretty much. Because I mean, like, Brian Fuller told them no hair on the Klingons, and so that's what they did.
Right.
And they came up with this elaborate backstory. Oh, the Klingons have these sensors on their heads, which is why they need to have no hair so they can sense prey and you know, be vicious. And they never ever mentioned this in the show ever. So I was like, well, that was a missed opportunity. Why don't they have hair? There's nothing in canon for why they don't have hair. So that was disappointing. So I was hoping they'd get more into Klingonisms, and they didn't. So I was like,
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, it was just weird. So we don't know what they'll do for the next season two of Discovery, but obviously we probably won't see Dixon Hill.
Probably not. I mean, you could get referenced like it did on Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
Maybe Michael and Spock watched the Black Iris or whatever it was. From the Enterprise.
The Black Orchid.
Right. Yes. So maybe, I mean, who knows? There could be subtle nods, because I didn't even recall there was a Dixon Hill. I mean, I saw it on the Memory Alpha, but I didn't recall what it was. So for Enterprise, mm-hmm. that was an interesting little callback. But yeah, movie night aboard the Enterprise.
That's right. So yeah, Dixon Hill, fading into memory.
Yeah, fading into memory. He made a big impression on us, because we thought, you know, like we said earlier, we thought he was there a lot more than he was. And he's, I mean, that's a good character if he's memorable like that, you know?
He is. And I think, obviously, The Big Goodbye was obviously a great episode. Manhunt's a little goofy. It has its funny parts. It's like I said, it's like sort of a breath of fresh air during that episode, because I think it would get real stale without it.
It's got Fleetwood Mac as a fish person who wants to blow up a delegate.
Sure, why not? And then Clues, we said, was a fantastic episode. And just the beginning with the Dixon Hill and the machine gun guy getting mowed down the machine gun is a great way to get your attention in the very beginning. So
yeah, and it sets up for an episode that's all about mystery, which is what why he likes Dixon Hill, because he likes to solve mysteries. And so it's like the whole crux of the episode, and it's just so well done. It's easily the best of these three episodes.
Oh, absolutely. And then we get the exclamation point at the very end of Dixon Hill's life is at the end of during First Contact, where he's firing on the Borg. The probably most memorable of Dixon Hill, period.
Well, yeah, Nikki the Nose with all the syphilis in his face. And
syphilic face, or whatever you want to call it.
And we've got Neelix as just a regular person. Ethan Phillips getting scanned by the Borg, which is great. Like, it's easily one of my favorite sequences in First Contact, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, First Contact.
It's just so memorable. I mean, like, they go in, is like, perhaps something in Saturn, and then, like, all of a sudden the holodeck puts clothes on them somehow, I guess?
Yeah.
Or they replicate the clothes there and change. Who knows? I don't think they have time for that with the Borg on their tail, but, yeah, the whole sequence is great. It's just so good.
Yeah, so short-lived Dixon Hill. Maybe somebody want to write some fan fiction out there, internet?
Yeah. Any fun Dixon Hill slash fiction? That'd be great.
That'd be fun.
Send it our way.
Totally, totally doable. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Somebody want to get into that. That would be interesting.
Absolutely. Some noir Star Trek. But you'd never leave the holodeck with it. That'd be great. Just keep it all.
Yeah. Just totally in that world. I don't know. It'd be interesting. There's got to be some twist you can make it interesting, too. Like, do some weird Star Trek bend on it, too.
Where
they
weren't in the holodeck at all.
Yeah. Maybe Moriarty stuck in the Dixon Hill world.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Although, you know, apparently, I don't know if Dixon Hill is supposed to be as brilliant as Sherlock Holmes. Even though they did make the comparison, which is why Data wanted to read it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, these detectives, they're not that smart. They're just kind of big thugs that can figure out what's going on. So,
yeah. Nick of the nose here.
Anything else you want to talk about this?
No, Dixon Hill is just a fun jaunt to some Star Trek noir, and too bad Janeway wasn't into that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, maybe we'll have to talk about Lord Fauntleroy or whatever.
Okay, and then the time where she's the mistress of Chaotica, whatever her name was.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't want to remember.
You don't like the Captain Proton episodes?
They're fun.
Black Widow or something. I don't remember what it is.
They sort of remind me of early Flash Gordon movies. Before they did the 80s remake.
I'm sure they're probably supposed to do that, homage to old school science fiction.
Yeah,
and what was modern at the time. So,
yeah, that old 1950s science fiction.
Which is funny that they would even consider that in Star Trek. Like, they just would think it's so absurd, with warp engines. Because, I mean, the whole thing, Gene Roddenberry, he was like, we're not going to have a rocket ship. He's like, we're going to design elegant spaceships. We're not going to have a stupid rocket.
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
It was just the whole vision of Gene Roddenberry for the style of spaceship in Star Trek was revolutionary, kind of, for the time. I mean, I guess it was revolutionary for the time. So it's very interesting that that characters in Star Trek would even consider, the old rocket, ideas. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny in that way, but also what's interesting about it is that somebody like Tom Paris would be like, I watched all these old films of Captain Proton, and I found it fascinating. I had to watch all of them. You know, it's such a weird thing. It'd be like you watching some old black and white movies and being like, oh, I just love these movies.
I love the Three Stooges. Random. I love the old black and white Three Stooges. Those are great.
Oh, those are great. But think about going back to black and white with no sound.
Nah. I don't know if I could do that.
I mean, maybe you could get into some Buster Keaton because he was supposed to be pretty genius. I've seen clips of his stuff, but I haven't watched all Buster Keaton, a full Buster Keaton movie. But he was supposed to be a genius filmmaker, director, actor. During that time of silent movies, so
yeah, honestly, I haven't really seen anything from that except for short clips and that were featured in other movies or something like that. And who knows if those are legitimate or not? I don't know.
Yeah,
because sometimes in TV shows or movies, they'll show an old school silent movie, but I don't know if it's actually a silent movie or them just trying to recreate a silent movie. You know what I mean?
Are you trying to recreate this or is this real?
You can't trust anything on TV. It's never real. It's all fake.
I know. It's all fake.
Even
it's
the things right. based on real things aren't even close to how they actually happen. So,
yeah, exactly.
It's a sad world we live in where things based on truth aren't true.
Yeah, it's very scary. Very scary. Well, with that, should we wrap it up with Dixon Hill? This case is closed.
This case is closed, Nicky the Nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sneezed on it. My syphilis snot.
Oh, can you imagine the boogers inside that nose?
I wonder if it just folds open. You can just blow it out. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
That'd be interesting. Oh, man. How does syphilis work? How do you get colds? How do you blow your nose? Don't tell us. It's at theholics@yahoo.com. Do not tell
don't
us.
Tell us.
Don't tell us. We do have an email to read, but we need to wait for Holly to read it because it mentions Holly. So it wouldn't be fair to read it without her. So we will respond to that when we're all together again.
Holly returns. Dun-dun-dun.
Hopefully soon. Got to see our schedule for this coming week. But hopefully we'll get together with her soon and do some more fun podcasting.
Excellent.
Because we've been getting really good feedback on her. So actually, that's some of the most feedback we've been getting lately. We've getting people say, I like Holly. I like the cut of her jib. And the stuff they're saying about her has been really positive. So I really appreciate that. And seeing that you guys are tired of it, me and Aaron. And
I'm sorry.
It's great. It's great news that people are giving us feedback on it. So I really appreciate it. Always looking forward to more feedback because it's always great to know how we can improve and how, to make it more enjoyable for you guys.
Absolutely. For sure.
So sorry if this is a little bit different. I'm recording in my new permanent space. So if it sounds a little bit weird, I'm getting used to how this place is set up. So
get the kinks out.
Yeah, so it might be rough for another couple of weeks. So hopefully it won't be, but we'll see how it goes in editing. But for all our music, our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes, and the rest is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or warp11 on Twitter. For the show, you can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can join the Facebook conversation at facebook.com/group/synthaholics. And as for Twitter goes, you can follow me personally at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. Holly's at Lunar Thistle. And the show's at Synthaholic Duo.
Absolutely. And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us, give us 5 stars preferably, and write some nice comments. It helps us be seen by more people. And if you do have a little cash in your pocket that you'd like to throw our way, $1 a month is not much to ask. If you could go to patreon.com/synthaholics and donate to our Patreon, we'd greatly appreciate that. And lastly, the great best way to help out the show is word of mouth. Let people know who we are and that we are doing this podcast about Star Trek and sometimes other things like Han Solo.
We take odd jaunts from Star Trek on occasion, but we still try to keep it in the science fiction genre.
We've done Dune and we've done
Spaceballs,
we've done Ghost in the Shell, and we've done quite a few different stuff in the past. So, obviously our bread and butter is Star Trek, but once in a while we jump out of that Venn diagram into the next circle.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to talk something other than Star Trek. We love Star Trek, but it's nice getting a little palate cleanser, I suppose. Although, I guess it wasn't super cleansing because I did get really passionate and angry. But, it wasn't it wasn't at Robbie. It was just Star Wars.
so funny. Well, Dixon.
Yeah, Nikki.
I don't know. I got nothing to say.
Well, thank you.
I should have way more in my in my back pocket for these kind of things, but I don't.
It's been that kind of week. I understand you, my friend. Well, yes. Thank you so much for joining me, Aaron, and thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Before the night. Shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Check.
Hello. My name is Cleveland Brown, and it's like to start the show.
I don't know about that, PETA.
you do a really good Cleveland. I didn't know.
That's all I do.
All over his face, neck, and chest. That's pretty good. I like that.